Good morning. If you're visiting with us, we are glad you're with us, and we want you to come back at every opportunity that you can. Before we get started this morning, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us to assemble together and bow before your throne. Father, we pray that for these few moments that you help us to push away the thoughts and concerns of this world, and Father, to listen to the words that you speak, and Father, pray that we may study you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, praying that those that may listen may open their ears and soften their hearts, and Father, go home and study, Father, to see if what is taught is true. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, and Father, we thank you so much for this word that you have given us to study from. We ask that you continue to forgive us of our sins, for it's through Christ we pray. Amen. About a month ago, I was sitting in my office, and my phone rang. And I cheat because we kind of have a caller ID system in our school. And I saw the teacher's name, and I thought, okay, she usually doesn't have a lot of problems. I'll answer the phone. And her words were, "Mr. Ortman, are you busy?" That's usually their first words. And I said, "What happened?" "Well, there's a student that has stolen from the school, and I've had to call home, so you may have to deal with this situation." "Wonderful, great, love to. Nothing else I'd rather do." So about 30 minutes later, our secretary comes and says, "Mr. Ortman, this father is here to talk to you." So I go out and I introduce myself, and we come back to my office, and his son is the one that has stolen from the school. And he wants me to talk to the son. He wants to talk to him, kind of have a little discussion together. So we call the student in, and we talk about these things, what he has stolen. And I have to ask the question, "What did you steal?" And he looks at me, and I tried hard not to laugh. And he said, "2 containers of rubber cement." And I thought to myself, out of all the things to steal, you want to steal that? But we had the conversation with the father, and the father made a comment that has stuck in my head ever since that conversation. Because when we started talking about stealing, he looked at his son and said, "You are no different than one of those criminals on the cross with Christ." And to be honest with you, I don't remember the next few conversations because, Gary, you may be like me. I sat there and started thinking, there's a sermon right there. And so I had to steer my mind away from trying to write a sermon really quickly to listening to this father and this child. But stealing and being just like the criminal on the cross. Going back to what was just read earlier, in verse 32, there were also 2 others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. On one side, there is a thief dying in his sins. He has lived a life of crime, broken the laws of Rome, has been sentenced to death. The sentence is being carried out. This man is dying a horrible death. This man is rude, arrogant, and proud. He is in a hopeless situation, and he is dying in his sins. On the other side is another thief dying for his crimes. He's just as guilty as the first. He's committed the same crimes, offended the same government, has received the same sentence. He's paying the same price, feeling the same pain, and dying the same death. But he's different than the first man. First man is dying in his sins. This man is dying to his sins. This man is well aware of what he is facing. His eyes are open to his condition, and he's willing to do what it takes to get God's help. Yet he's still in a helpless condition. In the middle hangs another man on a cross. He has offended some very powerful people. This man has spent the past 3 years traveling around the country preaching a message that he calls the gospel of the kingdom. It is a message that promises salvation to all who believe it. This man has healed the sick, fed the hungry, and raised the dead. He's done nothing wrong except expose the corruption of the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. The man in the middle is very different than the other two. From every appearance, this text details a hopeless situation. 3 men are nailed to a cross, 3 men are dying horrible deaths, and 3 men dying deaths so horrible we can't imagine how bad they really are. And verses 32 to 38 of our text, we have heard about the hopeless situation. In verse 32, the criminals led with him. Verse 33, and they were come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. They have broken the eighth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 15, of thou shalt not steal. They have also been guilty of blaspheming Christ. His sentence is verse 33. They're being put to death because of their crime. It's a horrible way to die. We talked this morning in Sunday school, we looked at being in Gethsemane and Jesus preparing before his death. And he knew that Friday was going to be a very long, agonizing death and day. And before he even gets there, his sweat drops are like blood as he is preparing for this day. We see the sorrow of this criminal. We see his sentence. But I want us to pick back up in verse 39. Verse 39 reads, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. They have both been guilty of blaspheming. Hold Luke 22 because we're going to stay here, or Luke 23. But turn with me quickly to Matthew 27. We looked this morning at an instance in the garden during the arrest that there is one situation that only John records. If you weren't here in Sunday school, I challenge you to look at John 18, 3 through 6, because that is the only place that arrest is recorded, a little bit different than the other Gospels. But Matthew 27, verse 44, Matthew 27, verse 44, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Did you notice what we read very easily in verse 44? Even the robbers. So which one of the criminals were rebuking him right here? Both of them. But if we look back at Luke 23, one of the criminals, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. The other one saying, rebuking him, do you not even fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. See, as I sat in my office with this father and son, and the father made the comment that his son was no different than the criminals on the cross, I bit my tongue hard because I wanted to ask the father, which criminal are you talking about? Because there's a big difference between the two criminals. Because one of them, in verse 39, is he sorry for what he's done? Has he asked for forgiveness? Does he show any sorry at all? No. He has nothing. To me, I would be tending to say that he has a hard heart. He is okay with what he's done. It doesn't bother him with what he's done. But then look at the other one in verse 40. Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. See, if we were like that little boy sitting there and we've been guilty of a sin, we have a choice to make. Are we going to be okay with the sins that we're making in our lives and we're just going to live like that? Or are we going to be like the other criminal and say, man, I have made some mistakes? Because according to Matthew, both of them have been rebuking him. Both of them have been saying the same things that the crowd have been saying. But this one criminal, he's had a change of heart. And I love what he says. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We all know that there's consequences for our actions. Everything we do, there's a consequence. Every day I deal with some kids that when you tell them what they did was wrong, some of them, I don't care. That's what I did. I'm living with it. Then there's some that are very sorry. There was one, a teacher brought a student to me the other day, and before she could even talk to him, he started bawling his eyes out. Well, I can't really do anything then. He's already crying. I can't make him cry really any harder, but I try. Especially the younger they are. It's fun. It's entertaining at times. Parts of my job I love. But what I appreciate the most is that sincere heart. Some of those children have that forgiving heart. Some of them, they're just like this one criminal. They're just as stubborn as they can be. The other ones, they are so tender, so compassionate, that they are willing to understand and learn from their mistakes. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Obviously, what have both criminals, or at least this one, heard? He's heard of Christ. He's heard of the teachings. He's heard of him teaching about the coming of the gospel of the kingdom. He's heard it. But I love how he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I've been taught what you've been saying." But luckily for him, and not luckily, but I guess being blessed, he's repenting of it now. But look what Christ says to him. "Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." As Christians, isn't that what we want to hear from Christ? That today, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. But the question for all of us sitting here this morning is, which criminal do we want to be like? Do we want to be the one that no matter what happens, we're going to say, "This is my life, this is the life I have chosen, I'm going to deal with my consequences, and no matter what they are, that's what I'm going down with"? Or we can be like this one criminal. We have received the due reward of our deeds. We're going to die a death. For the first criminal, not only died the physical death, but he died, the worst one is that spiritual death, that separation from God. This other criminal knows that physically they're going to die. There's no way around it. But he doesn't want to die that spiritual death. And out of the three on the cross, the two criminals and of Christ, who dies first? Jesus dies first. They break the legs, according to John 19, they break the legs of the criminals, then they come upon Christ to do the same. But what do they notice about Christ before they even can break his legs? That he's already died. So this criminal has so much faith in who Jesus is, even though Jesus dies first, he says to him, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What kind of attitude do we have? What kind of heart do we have? For the last few months, while I taught Sunday school, that kind of came the theme of our lessons, is our heart, the inside, the decisions that we make, the consequences that our decisions have. Which criminal on the cross are we going to be? Are we going to be the one that's that stubborn one? Are we going to be the one saying, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom"? They both began with a hard heart. One of them has a softened heart. One never changes. There may be somebody here this morning that has a hard heart, but it's getting softer each day. That hopefully God has come into your heart. And like the Ethiopian eunuch, "Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Some of us this morning, we may need the prayers and encouragement of the church. We may need to confess some sins, to soften our hearts. But I hope we try to truly and honestly look inside ourselves and ask ourselves, which criminal are we? If there's any way we can assist you this morning, won't you come as we stand and encourage each other in song?